Hi there. Welcome to episode one of Published by Greenleaf Book Group. My name is Tanya Hall, and today I'll be speaking with our guest, Nathan True, about getting started on writing your book.
Welcome to Published, a podcast by Greenleaf Book Group, where we'll discuss the ins and outs of the publishing industry, from writing a book and finding the right publisher to gearing up for a book launch. And now, here's your host, Greenleaf Book Group CEO, Tanya Hall.
Welcome to the very first episode of Published. The purpose of this podcast is to help authors better understand publishing in general so that they can make the best choices for them throughout the journey. There's a lot of misinformation out there, a lot of conflicting information, a lot of confusing information. So our purpose is to help bring some clarity to the journey of writing a book and then also really help you have the tools to take it out to the marketplace and successfully launch your book to your readers. So who am I? I'm Tanya Hall. I'm the CEO of Greenleaf Book Group. We are a hybrid publisher and distributor celebrating our 20th anniversary this year. A hybrid publisher is a unique approach to publishing. We blend elements of self-publishing and traditional publishing, really bringing the benefits of both while eliminating the downfalls of each. And we'll talk more about what that looks like in future episodes, because in each episode, we will dive into a different aspect of publishing. So we'll start from the beginning, really, and how to craft your book, how to hone your message, how to find out who your audience is, and make sure that you're writing that content to them very intentionally. And along the way, I will keep you entertained with my stories about attempting to write my own book, which I am maybe a third of the way through, a good 20,000 words, between 20 and 30 right now. So being in the publishing industry, I thought this would be much easier for me because it should be easier for me because I have a team of experts to support me and all of this knowledge about writing a book, but I'm right there with you, dear listener. It's hard. So I can commiserate and hopefully help, and together we can get through writing our books with the help of a pretty amazing team of experts that will help guide us through the process in all of our podcast episodes. So the first thing that I thought it would be appropriate to talk about is what tends to typically hold most authors back from even picking up the pencil sometimes, and certainly from really moving forward with working through a manuscript with some intent. And that's fear, which is a very complex subject, certainly, to talk about. With a book specifically, there tends to be a couple different elements of fear. There's a fear of critique, certainly. There's a fear of putting your ideas out into the world. There's a fear of being vulnerable to the feedback that comes along with that. And there are ways past all of that fear. So to that extent, I want to introduce our guest today, Mr. Nathan True.
Hello.
Hi, Nathan. Nathan is a senior editor here at Greenleaf Book Group, and a big part of what he does day to day is working with our authors who are really in the developmental phase of developing their manuscripts, where a lot of the heavy lifting takes place, a lot of the ideation, a lot of the clarification about what we're trying to say, and then, of course, a lot of the accountability of just getting the thing done. So, Nathan, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's our pleasure. And first things first, why are so many people afraid of putting this idea that they're turning around in their head, that they're nurturing to some degree, into book form?
That's a great question. There are several different kinds of fear that come into play with this sort of thing. First of all, it's terrifying to have to be criticized. And by putting something out there, you're going to be criticized. But by making the best book you can make, you ensure that any criticism will be things you can improve on later rather than things that tear apart your ideas. And that's where an editor can help, is to help the author streamline their ideas to something clear and that says exactly what they want to say.
And to that point, of course, you just kind of hit the nail on the head in a roundabout way. People are scared to death of editors. I see it so many times where they even hesitate to send the manuscript to us because it's not perfect, hasn't been proofread, and I explain to them that we're trained to look for the content over the execution.
Absolutely.
So how do you explain to an author the editor's role in such a way that they're comforted and not intimidated?
That's another good question. First of all, I start off by not using a red pen. I always use green because it's green for go and it's a little more comforting. Typically I try to explain it as we're not there to criticize them or to pick apart their writing or their grammar or their punctuation. We're a support system. Our job is to help them clarify their language to make sure that what they want to say and what the reader understands that they've said are the same thing.
Yeah, because you are a proxy for the reader.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can ask the questions that the reader won't ever get to ask.
Mm-hmm. Good. And of course, the other type of fear that I hear all the time, just talking with authors out at conferences and so forth, or people reaching out to me, typically from those who are speakers and consultants, and maybe they have some proprietary approach to solving a problem, is this fear of having their core idea. They feel like they're the value of all of their thinking ripped off once it's in book form. So how do you talk somebody through that fear?
Well, the biggest part of that is that the value of what they're offering is them. Mm-hmm. So ideas can come from anywhere, and most people have something, have a method that's similar to some other method, but they bring something unique to it. And when you write a book, you want to have as much of that value in the book as you can so that your reader can benefit from it. And you would avoid people stealing it by realizing that they can't steal you. And the people who are able to read the book and then do it on their own wouldn't have hired you anyway. Those are the people who can figure it out on their own from, you know, a website, a book, whatever. But those other readers who can't will read the book, see that you know what you're talking about, see that you can walk them through the process, and then hire you to do it.
Yeah, and that is certainly the perfect scenario where they've self-selected, they've already bought into who that expert is.
Absolutely.
As an authority in their field. And that's certainly what we always hope the book will do for our authors when it's out in the airports and so forth.
Yeah.
Okay, good. So those are, I would say, probably the two primary types of fear that we see. Mm-hmm. And then there's one more around feedback that we'll hit on a little bit later. But let's move on to the next part in terms of just getting through the nuts and bolts of trying to finish up the manuscript.
Sure.
Is there a right or wrong way to plan a book? What should an author aspire to finish first?
No, there's no right way to do anything. And I mean anything. I'm all about context. And for writing, what the context there is whatever makes the author most comfortable. So if that's a highly structured outline, great. If that's writing off the top of your head, that can work very well, but there are caveats to everything. So, for instance, if you write without an outline, you run the risk of the editor not understanding what you want to say necessarily and having to do a lot more work on the back end. It also leads to less of a clear structure sometimes, so you end up having to do a lot more rewriting later on. But when it comes to getting your thoughts down, whatever you feel is most convenient to you is the best way to do it. So if that's an outline or if a list of brainstorming topics or whatever works.
Okay. But as an editor, your preferred way would be?
Yeah, my preferred way would be a very detailed outline. And the reason there is not that an outline is the best way to write, but it's an easy and highly structured way to communicate between the author and the editor. Mm-hmm. So that I know what the author wants to say and that I can, when I review their writing, I can make sure that they're saying that.
That makes sense. So how does a writer structure an outline? You mentioned a very detailed outline. So how detailed, what does that look like?
Well, typically they come in with a chapter structure. So they'll know they have 10 topics to talk about and they know roughly what those are, but they may not know what they want to say about each of those. Ideally, what we'd like to have is for each of those chapters, a set of sections underneath. So what are the main topics that you're dealing with under that larger topic? And then within each of those, what are your arguments to support that topic? Eventually, if you keep filling in those details, you've got your chapter. All you have to do is make them complete sentences and you have a book.
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
Just like that.
And anecdotally, anyone listening here, I can tell you that's what we've done with my book. And I thought going in, I sat down and had a really kind of a broader view outline, we'll say.
Sure.
Thinking like, oh, I know this stuff like the back of my hand, so I can write this. I don't need...
And it had a clear and logical structure?
Yeah, and I could probably actually talk through a lot of it.
Sure.
But once I sat down to actually start writing those sections, I found that I needed a little bit more definition around how much to cover, because there's so much information. So we took a step back and did the more detailed outlines so that I knew specifically which parts of a broader subject to address. So that can be very helpful.
Absolutely.
Okay, so how does one, you described the outline, how do you actually get started on writing that outline?
Well, a huge part of that is time. Mm-hmm. So most of our authors tend to be business owners or speakers, and they've got a lot going on. But you have to find some time to write. And then once you, if you've got the time plus the structure, the outline, you basically just pick a piece and start writing on it. And then make sure that you're consistently adding to it as you go. That's kind of a vague way to describe it, but persistence is more important than perfection.
Well said. And does it matter if you're jumping around to different parts of your book, or does the editor prefer that you start at the top and finish at the end? What would you recommend there?
I think in general, it's easier to edit if you move in a linear fashion, but it's not necessarily easier to write, and that's more important. So if you need to work on a piece of a chapter that, say you're working on chapter 3, and you feel comfortable writing the first few sections, but then your brain clicks onto something in chapter 5, there's nothing wrong with flipping over and writing on that. You're still writing, and that's what matters.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, circling back to time, you mentioned time as one of the major sort of obstacles for most authors, and I can agree. For me, that has definitely been a surprising issue, just because a book, 60,000 words typically, is, I think, more than people think. And when you do the simple math, it's a chunk of time every week that you really have to be consistent about carving out to stay on course. So can you give the people who are listening an idea of what that commitment looks like?
Yeah, it is. And it's terrifying to look at that many words and realize how many hours of your time that is. But what I try to do is help them break it up into smaller pieces. So for instance, you don't have to write a whole chapter every week. That would be incredibly fast moving for most of our books. What you can do is break each chapter into sections, and then each of those sections into paragraphs. And if you end up writing a paragraph a week, that's not speedy, but at least you're writing. And if you end up being inspired as you're writing those, as you're writing a definite paragraph every week, if that turns into 5, great, keep going.
Yeah, it's more about getting the pencil to paper.
Absolutely.
Right. So when you think about the authors that you've worked with who have been able to churn out their manuscripts in a fairly expedient way versus, I know we have some who have been sort of sitting in, not sort of, they have been sitting in project development, as we call it, for years now.
Sure.
What have the more resourceful, what have the more productive authors done differently?
They all have a consistent writing schedule. So for instance, the authors who move very quickly are usually retired or otherwise don't have to work every day and can set aside 5 to 8 hours a day to write something. And they tend to move very quickly. The more typical author has a day job, and so they can set aside a couple hours a day or, 5 hours a week, which sounds hefty, but it's doable. And they consistently output something within that time.
Okay. Yeah. Any other tips for authors to find the time or to make the most of the time that they do find?
Yeah. So making the most of the time, persistence and getting something on paper is really the most important part of your time. And so if that means that you have a structured chapter that you're working on and you can move linearly through that, that's great. But if not, then go ahead and brainstorm, make a word cloud, whatever you can do to get ideas down so that when you come back to it later, it might trigger something that cues you up for the rest of that chapter, that section.
Yeah, that's worked for me, actually. There have been times where I have to really discipline myself to, in my case, and this might actually help some listeners, like I have a dedicated location also where I write.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
I started out trying to write in the office, and for a number of reasons that doesn't work, I think primarily because I'm conditioned to be doing a zillion things at once, mm-hmm. and the phone rings or hear a hallway conversation, and it's my job to be paying attention to all of those things.
Yeah.
So I just cannot focus, and I fought it, and I felt like that's ridiculous. I should be able to focus. It was it was a stupid fight to fight. So I have a very quiet, isolated place that really helps my brain make a transition from being in work mode to being in writing mode.
Yeah.
And that might be helpful to some people because, yeah, even when that's not working and the most I can do is get some words down, quite often the writing muse, as I say, if she's not with me, then get those words down, close the notebook, and come back to it later. And that does inspire something or sort of trigger a part of my brain that says, oh, here's what you were trying to come up with, and now we can write it.
Yeah, yeah. The setting definitely helps inspire the muse to come visit. So whether that's a separate office or a room in your house that you don't normally use, or even a quiet corner in your regular space, you can section that off with a curtain. You can change the lighting, something different, so that you know that this is writing time now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely surprisingly helpful. Okay, so as somebody is writing the book and gets to, let's say, the point where I am now, where you're roughly a third through, I have found that first third went somewhat quickly. So you have sort of the most passionate and sort of top of mind ideas that can come forth kind of quickly. And then you've got to circle back and fill in all the stuff that it's going to be a little harder. Or in my case, you have to create some brand new material.
Sure.
And that takes a lot of time and energy. So there's this little bit of dip in momentum and this feeling of like, oh, it's never going to be done. How do you help people maintain their energy and excitement about the manuscript itself when they get to that point or any point where they're just down about the commitment?
That's always difficult. It is a long process and it's hard to keep up that excitement the whole time. So one of the things you can do is remember the end goal. You're writing for a purpose. With our authors, we do a lot of nonfiction, so it's usually to help someone do something. That goal is always there. And if you can kind of bring yourself back to the point of why you're writing, it can help you reinvigorate a little bit of the actual writing process itself. You can also try exercises. So write on something different for a little while to freshen up your brain and then come back to it. Take a break and do something else. If that's looking at images or looking at look out the window and watch squirrels for a little while, it might inspire you.
For me, my garden inspires me.
Yeah.
It just clears my mind enough that other thoughts can come in.
That's perfect. Yeah, meditation's great.
Yeah, sure. Okay, good. Then once you have that manuscript completed, that magical day comes, usually the author wants to start pulling together some feedback.
Yeah.
So do you have some tips first of all, should they wait until the manuscript is finished? What is the ideal point for them to ask for feedback?
That's a good question. So it depends on what kind of feedback they're looking for. So if ideally they've got an idea of the sort of feedback they're going to get by the time they've started writing the book. So if they're a speaker, they know what their audience will react to. If they're a business person, they know that their method works because they've implemented it in their business. So it's good to get some feedback in the early stages from experts and colleagues and that sort of thing. As you're writing, professional advice tends to be a little more helpful. So feedback from other writers or editors or people who understand the purpose of a book rather than whether it's simply intriguing information, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, it's not terribly helpful to get feedback from friends and family because it's difficult to get them to be honest with you. They'll typically be either more positive or sometimes more negative than an unbiased reader would be.
Mm-hmm. So is there a specific way for an author to frame that feedback request to kind of avoid that very problem?
Yeah, one good way is to make it binary. So is this good or is this not good? As opposed to give me feedback on how I should change this chapter or this piece. Because you'll tend to get different advice from every single person you ask, and then trying to balance all of that and make every one of them happy will never lead to a coherent book.
And speaking of that, so as they're receiving all of this feedback, as we know, some of it is good and some of it is, like you said, really probably not constructive to the manuscript as a whole. So how do they sort through that and figure out what to use and what to just say, thanks, I'll consider it?
Yeah. Well, part of that is that they have to remember they're the expert on the topic, and so they know whether something is going to be useful for explaining that to their audience most of the time. Otherwise, it's helpful to ask someone who, a professional in the writing field, so like a ghostwriter or an editor, to see whether that helps the structure, whether it moves something along, whether it provides some sort of, it does some sort of work for the manuscript. And if it doesn't, then it's not necessary.
Mm-hmm. And they're looking for really feedback on the ideas,
yeah,
versus, again, the execution. And
right.
Did I put this comma in the right place?
Yeah, and that your ideas are really the key piece of the book. Without those, you don't have the book, and the rest of it is easily fixed later.
Yes, good. Okay, well, that is it for our show today. A big thank you to Nathan for coming on and
thank you.
Helping us with all things editorial. We've got a guide for you on our website about how to get started on your outline. To download it, go to greenleafbookgroup.com/episode1. That's a numeric 1. greenleafbookgroup.com/episode1. And if you like today's episode, head over to iTunes to subscribe.
Thanks for listening to Published. To learn more, please visit greenleafbookgroup.com. And remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes.